Okay, good morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer and then have some singing time together. We got a lot to cover this morning in our assembly meeting. And so let's begin with approaching the throne of grace together in prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly. How thankful we are, Father, that you have called us together and that you fulfill a purpose of this assembly, Father. And we just pray that we will put our cup there and let you pour and use us as you see fit. Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son, in the power and leading of your Spirit. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, in the past several weeks, maybe a month or so, we have really been pulled together in the need of prayer, first of all, in regard to where we would meet, and that Tony would let us meet at a decent price, lease agreement that we would be able to manage. And now what has occurred with Thomas, and that has also pulled us together. So let's sing two appropriate hymns this morning. Let's start with hymn number 403, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I know we sang it not long ago, but with all that's been going on, we need to sing it. So let's stand and sing together. First of all, we're so happy to have Chris and Laura and Chris and the family here. Stand up so we can just see what you look like after world traveling. World traveling didn't change you that much, did it? I think, Cameron, you've grown a little, haven't you? That's what I thought. You just comb his hair differently. So I thought you'd look taller than before you left, but. All right. So, we want to hear about your trip. Not today, but we do want to hear. We'll set aside, I'll get with you, and let us hear about things, because we all want to know. And that'll be a good fellowship time. Thomas, in the midst of the chemo and everything that's going on, has lost his hair, and they gave him sort of a marine cut. And the other Cameron And two friends, Cameron? They backed out. Oh, Cameron, stand up. He did this for Thomas. I like that. All right. That's very good. Very good, Cameron. My friend John Hintz is a pastor in Tucson. One of his parishioners and friend came down with cancer and lost his hair. So John just cut off all his hair. And I told him, I said, the other man's name is John, too. John Haig looks much better than you do, John. that's super. And it's just good to see all the young people in here. My goodness, I could go a couple more hours today just with all of that, and that's great. Okay, let's talk about things we need to be in prayer about and things going on. And first of all, be in prayer for Thomas. And Larry or Leslie, one of y'all, closest update.
We talked to her this morning.
All right, well, tell us.
She called me on the way. And so everything is...
Notice I said Larry or Leslie, Tish answers.
You'll know that.
Okay.
No, she just happened to call me on the way in. And she said that, you know, everything is good and stuff. They're going to turn down that machine on his breathing a little bit.
Good.
And that our prayer is for the cells to grow. They can't give any, the white cells, they can't give him the transplant without the white cells, and his white cells aren't growing right now.
And what's the status of the heart? Because that was a major...
Well, I think they think it might be okay.
Got down to 124, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah,
126.
Okay. 126. Okay. Just so you'll know, those of you that may not know, and it was a close call yesterday. If you want to just shoot straight, could have gone home to be with the Lord yesterday. And we had a wonderful time at the hospital, in the ICU Children's Hospital, Medical City up here on Forest and Coit type area, right off of 75. And a group of us were there. It was just a wonderful time of prayer. It was just really, really wonderful prayer time. And we would pray, and then they would talk and just share with each other, and then something would be said. Terry would come out and tell us. So we just, let's pray quickly. And one of Larry and Brian's daughters, which one was it, said?
Ryan.
Ryan said, now, how many times did we pray for Thomas yesterday or today? Because we would just break in, and one of them was very interested the way I said, okay, Father, it's us again, because we just hung up and went back and prayed again. And it was just a wonderful time of fellowship and strength to Terry and Rick by their own confession. So here's what we're going to do. If you want to be a part of that kind of prayer meeting, right after we get through here, we're going to go up to the ICU at the Children's Hospital. It's Building A. Building A. And fifth floor. And we're going to... I know what floor it is. I'm a stair. And we're going to go in. They have an outer room of for the waiting. And then over here is the elevator. And then another room. Going to meet over here and just spend some good time in prayer. That is very strengthening. It is very strengthening to Terry and to Rick. And that's what a family does. That's what a family does. In our study and the 9:30 study, we're just starting 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. He's talking to the recipients, and he said the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, and he's building the point that they are family. And we worship together. We do these things together. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, he calls them saints. He calls them called, sanctified. And I pointed out, this was about the nicest thing Paul could say for this group of believers. I mean, they were scoundrels. I don't think any church in church history has had as many of the reprobates as Corinth had. Every church probably has one or two like some of the members of Corinth. And when we talk about eternal security, sanctification is so important in eternal security, because he was saying, every one of you, I mean, they came out of the pagan temples where they had prostitutes and all of this, and they wanted to bring that into the church. They wanted to bring, the Jews wanted to bring the law into the church. And I mean, you can just imagine this group of believers, new believers. They didn't lose their salvation, but they just had to learn about what living who they are in Christ. But this is what an assembly does. So we'll spend some time, and every one of you invited. It will not take much of your time, but just come on up and just see Terry and Rick, and we'll spend a few moments in prayer together, and just embrace them and let them know we care. They know it, but just let them know physically that we care and we're with them. And any questions on that? Okay, so that's right after class. You go however you want to get there, but you go down 75, take the forest exit, which is right after 635. You want to be in your right-hand lane, and then you exit, go down to Forest, go up to Croyd, take a right, and the big signs, A, all the buildings, and you want to build in A. And you go in and park, and you go up to the fifth floor, and that'll be the ICU unit for children in the fifth floor. Just to put it in perspective, that's got to be a unbelievable place to have to work. Because Judith and I met another lady, and her little baby is waiting on her. How old was the little baby from a heart transplant?
Three.
Waiting for a heart transplant. There's so many problems and issues, challenges. And people, our God is so great, He can answer all these prayers all over the world. And He cares and He loves. This is what kind of God we have. He's that awesome. He is that omnipresent. And so we'll do that. Now, let's talk on the next thing we want to be in prayer about. We want to be in prayer for Anel, who's still recovering, right? But you're feeling better. Yep, feeling better, but still recovering. So we want to be in prayer. And we want to be in prayer for Sharon. We'll continue to be in prayer for you. And just be in prayer for each other as we're in this battle. And we want to be in prayer for our young people. Is that what you want to talk about?
Well, of course.
Okay. I'll be right back. All right, go ahead.
Oh, yes, and remember Jim and Elm, they'll be traveling back from the lease today.
Okay, all right.
Okay, cool. We have a couple of things of importance. Today is our last day to gather up your orders for flowers, for our flower fundraiser. So if you wish to order any of those, please leave those for us back in the back. The flowers will be coming in next Saturday at Phil and Pat's house in Plano. So grab me before we leave if you want to place an order, and I'll make sure I get it turned in for you, okay?
And I learned yesterday, Phil is not going to deliver. You have to come and pick up your own. Okay, go ahead.
And then the other thing of importance is that we do have some camp applications that I made copies of and put back there.
You got some back here?
Good.
Okay. Tammy, you can get them, some application forms back. Oh, you already got them. Good. Okay. All right. Very good. So let's be in prayer about our young people and about the meeting this summer. It's going to be here before we know it. So we need to be in prayer and continue to support and be in prayer for all that's going on there. Let's see. Now, yes.
Be in prayer for Pam's dad.
Pam's dad. And his first name?
His name is Bill.
Bill.
Been the caregiver all.
Oh, wow. That's tough. That's tough. And he has a lot of issues right now. So we need to be in prayer for Pam and for Pam's father, Bill. Absolutely. And what other issues of prayer do we need? Yes?
Friend at church. He shared the gospel. He shared the gospel with
him
Friday.
Absolutely. We want to be in prayer. What's his first name?
John.
And it's a real interesting story. John grew up Roman Catholic. And just share with him very quickly.
Well, he's a guy at work. He's a Catholic. By faith or with his family. And we got to talking about God and stuff. And he said, well, you know, you just can't believe in Jesus. You got to live life. And so that opened up a discussion about salvation. last time I talked to him, I led him through some verses because he's real uninformed of the Bible. And I showed him some verses in Romans about Abraham and his faith and being justified by faith. And as he looked through those scriptures, he sat back. He said, "Man, that word, I may be teaching my child wrong."
See, and I like that because I talk to people about salvation by faith and spirituality by faith, and you can tell by their response if they're getting it. If they go, "Oh, that's interesting," they don't see it. But if they say things like this, they're, "Uh-oh, this is important to me, what I teach my children. If I'm not teaching my children correctly, I want to know."
He's a former Marine, so he kind of is intimidating to be around. He talks like a sailor.
Kevin Marine, not like a sailor.
And since he opened the door, you know, I went ahead and, you know, was able to share my faith with him. And he responded really well. So just pray that God would...
We'll be in definite prayer. That's wonderful. Thank you. Very good. Courtney, the Risman's daughter, the nurse was pregnant. She had her baby this week. She had a little boy. They named him Joshua. He's, it was 10 pounds. 8 pounds. What's a pound or two? What's a pound or two?
To me, it says Courtney had her baby. It's like 8 pounds and 10 inches long. It had to be 20 inches.
The little boy was born. He is so long, he weighs so much. And he and Mom are doing fine, and Dad's doing fine. And John and Judy are just worn out. And Dan and Pat made it back from Africa. And so they're back and with John and Judy in Tucson. So they'll start their traveling around here pretty soon. But that's what's going on in that area. Now, what struck me that is so interesting, and I know we got prayers today, but there are things that bring Christians together. And it isn't always doctrine. Because Christ didn't say, he said that you love one another. Not that you agree on everything. And I want to just go around and talk about the group that you know, just real quick, I mean less than 3 or 4 seconds, that are praying for Thomas anywhere. Somebody just start off.
Scouts. Boy Scouts.
Boy Scouts. Boy Scouts are praying.
Book club in Plano that I don't even know the people.
Don't even know them. Tammy, what about your children?
Yes.
They're praying at the school.
Yes.
All right. They don't know him. They're praying at school. Yes.
Fellowship Bible at
Parkland. Okay.
My 7th grade homeroom class, we always pray together every day, and I put him on the prayer list for our class. The next day, one of the 7th graders came to me and said, "Mr. Bingmillan, do you know so-and-so, this little girl in Plano?" I said, "No, I've never heard of her." And he said, "Well, her parents called my parents and put Thomas on our prayer list."
Wow, that's good. Cameron. I'm sorry? All right. Yep. Okay. Pat?
Leah's Church in Indiana.
All right. Good.
My Herbalife distributors around the world.
Okay. Very good. Got in a commercial in the prayer notification. That's all right. That's good.
School in Ovilla. The whole school.
In Ovilla. All right. Their school. Oh my goodness, very good. Okay, Cameron? Okay. All right. Yes?
Prestonwood Baptist, to a friend of mine.
All right, very good.
Tucson.
Leslie?
Tucson.
My mother's church in
Tucson. Okay. And the group, Tucson Bible Church, all the people, every time they meet together on Tuesday night, have a great prayer meeting, great prayer time, and they're in prayer. Yes? Friends in Frisco, all right.
A church group that's related to Pam's associates there at work.
Yep.
Had their own the prayer list.
That's so beautiful, yes.
Southwood?
Yeah, that's right, Southwood. In Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Heart and Joy in Las Vegas.
Yeah, all right. Upland Bible. Okay. And I know that in Africa, a group, even though Dan and Pat are not there, there's a group that are in prayer in Africa that are in prayer for Thomas. But I just wonder the number of people that this is affecting. And sort of, okay, we don't all agree, but we agree that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, He's the Savior, and that we can go to prayer. So that to me is powerful. That to me is powerful. Okay, thank you very much for sharing all of those with us. The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one who has personally accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, but not only that, knows how to walk in the power of the Spirit and be led of the Spirit in regard to giving. So with these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the worship of the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace. Father, we thank you for this assembly. We thank you for using this humble assembly in so many different ways. The spreading of the gospel on the internet, tapes, disc, right here in our own home. We pray, Father, you will continue to see fit to use this assembly, that we will put ourselves at your disposal in whatever way you see to use us. And now, Father, we pray that you'll take the offerings that we're about to give. You will continue to use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior, in whose precious name we pray. Amen. Yes, absolutely. That's right. I meant to mention that myself. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Christy, are you at the point where we can pray for him to go on home? I reached that point with my mom. Just take her home. So we'll be in prayer. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Last Sunday morning, we prayed because Mark and Martha had been under the weather for about 2 or 3 weeks. And I'm glad to see both of you are here, even though you're still hacking. Glad to see both of you here. I'm glad you're back. My goodness. All right. Now, I would like for you to open your Bibles to John 16. We have already seen that the majority of the teaching on God the Holy Spirit was not by the apostles and the writers of Scripture, but by Jesus Christ Himself. He taught more on the Holy Spirit, the aspect, what He does, all these things, in the Gospel of John 13 through 16 in the upper room and subsequent teaching of Jesus Christ. I want you to know something else that came to my mind, came to my understanding. More of the teaching on prayer, as we understand it in the church, is by Jesus Christ, not by the apostles. In fact, the only thing that Paul really added, that pray in the Spirit. But it's so interesting to me that most of our understanding of prayer is by Jesus Christ. And without going through every verse in the upper room discussion, subsequent to upper room, the night, a few hours before he was crucified, I'd like to just read together John 16, verse 23 and following. John 16, verse 23. And in that day, you will ask me no question. That day is the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, session of Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father, and the sending of the Holy Spirit. In that day, you will ask me no question. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything, he will give it to you in my name. Now, he's already talked about us praying in his name, but I don't know if you're aware of the fact that God answers prayer in his name. In the name of Jesus Christ. So we're not only to ask in his name, the Father answers in his name. Verse 24, until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. What is going on here with this name thing? History is changing, people. This is dramatic, historical. Never in all of the Old Testament, Abraham, Moses, David, Joshua, no one ever prayed in the name of Jesus. That is for us in the church age. This is a remarkable advancement in a relationship with God. We pray in the name of Jesus. Never done before. That's why this is so dramatic, historic, and it's going to take them a while to get this through their head. What's going on? We do it all the time. In Jesus' name. We're 2,000 years after it's been going on almost. But what I want you to see is how dramatic this is. Until now, verse 24, you've asked for nothing in my name. Now, they prayed. Prayer has been a part of the Old Testament. A lot of the Psalms are prayers, but never in his name. Ask, and you will receive, in order that your joy may be made full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language. An hour is coming, that to be the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, day of Pentecost, when I will speak no more to you in figurative language, but will tell you plainly of the Father. And this plainly is talked about previously in previous verses. Verse 26. In that day, you will ask in my name. So, God's going to answer in his name. You will ask in my name. I do not say to you that I will request the Father on your behalf. People, I don't care what the Roman Church says. You pray to Mary. You pray to a saint. You do that. No, you don't even pray to Jesus. You go straight top. You've been in a business. I want to talk to the boss. I want to talk to who's in charge. I don't want you. Get me your boss. See? We go straight to the top. We go straight to heaven, to the Father. This is not belittling of Jesus Christ, people. This is advancing your relationship with the Father. Now, why can we go to the Father? Look what he says. All right, in verse 26, in that day you will ask me, ask in my name, ask the Father in my name, I will not intercede for you on your behalf. Why? For the Father himself loves you. People, this is why you and I go straight to God the Father. The Father loves you. You don't need to go to a saint. You don't need an intermediary, even Jesus. Why did he come? He came to take us to the Father, didn't he? That's why he came. He came to bring us to the Father. So this is powerful. For the Father himself loves you. Because you've loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Now, this verse 28 is almost a gospel verse. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world to die on the cross, bear the judgment of sins. I am leaving the world again and going to the Father. So, people, our prayer is powerful. Prayer is where you talk to God the Father. Never before did they call Him Father either. And all the prayers in the Old Testament, not one to the Father. To Yahweh, Jehovah. To the Lord, to Elohim God. To the Lord God, Almighty God. Different things they prayed in their prayers. Never to the Father. You and I have a unique privilege of going to God as our Father in the name of Jesus Christ. This is powerful stuff. Powerful in regard to prayer. And with these things in mind, let us sing hymn number 401, Sweet Hour of Prayer. And I hope that some of you will make your way, even if you didn't plan on it, coming over to the hospital and praying with us. 401. Begin our study this morning, the word of prayer. There's so many things that draw an assembly of believers. That's what a church is. It's not a building. It's an assembly of believers, called out ones, sanctified in Christ. And there's just so many things that draw believers together. It's based upon the teaching of the word of God. Then there's the prayer, the singing, giving, the ministries of that church, missionary, young people, whatever it may be. Then there's the camaraderie, the encouragement when different believers in the assembly need, and so many aspects of the fulfillment of the assembly. This is why the writer of Hebrews says, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves, because there's just so much involved in the assembly or the calling of the local church. And the spiritual gifts, my spiritual gift's not for me. My spiritual gift is not for me. I don't really grow by my spiritual gift. It's by the same way you grow, by the study of the Word and by faith. But our spiritual gift is for the assembly. It's not for you. It's for the assembly. And every believer has a spiritual gift. Everyone. It's given by God a spiritual gift to function in the assembly. So let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Scriptures by prayer. Now, Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for this text. We pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to things that you would have us to see and understand. Father, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. In Romans chapter 5, verse 2, Paul talks about those are the results of the justificate, being imputed righteousness and justified. And one of those is peace. And we've looked at that. And this morning we want to finish up the second, and it's very important, eternal security. And we've already looked at the introduction to eternal security, Roman numeral 1, definition and description of eternal security, Roman numeral 2, eternal security from the standpoint of Jesus Christ, His person and His work. Point 3, eternal security from the standpoint of God the Father, His essence, His faithfulness. Point 4, eternal security from the standpoint of God the Holy Spirit, His work at salvation. Point 6, Roman numeral 6, eternal security from the standpoint of man's part, simple faith. You do not refrain from sinning to be saved. You're saved by faith, a moment of faith in Jesus Christ. That brings us to Roman numeral 6, various aspects of eternal security from the text. And the first one I want to look at very quickly is the family approach. The family approach. Birth. Spiritual birth. That is being born into the family of God. Now, I do want to finish this morning. Time is running out on us. And normally if we had another 40 minutes or so, we'd look all of these verses up. But if you're taking notes, you want to write them down and look at them, but I'll read them to you. But in John, the Gospel of John chapter 3, verses 3 and 7, Jesus Christ declares, you must be born, not again. If you have a good translation, it gives you the correct Greek, from above, and in the New American Standard, they put from above all in the marginal note. Born from above. And in verse 7, born from above. Now let's look at what Jesus Christ is saying. First of all, being born, that's new life. New life from above. Now, how are we going to be born from above, much less be born a second time, but be born from above? And the birth denotes a new creation. The place of our birth is from above. And people, when we die, are raptured, but when we die, we just go back to where we're from. We go back to heaven. Go back to where our place of origin is from. How? By faith in Jesus Christ. We cannot unborn ourselves is the point of this study. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 23, which I wish we had time to look at, but there it does say, born again. The John passage that most people translate, be born again, that's born from above. If you want to talk about being born again, that's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 23, born again, but we have the same question. How are we going to be born a second time? By faith in Jesus Christ. This is the doctrine of regeneration. We're regenerated, born again, born into the family again, born from above. We cannot be unborn. So the family approach is, once you're in the family, doesn't matter your sins, how you neglect Him, you never walk by faith in the Spirit, which I just feel so sorry. My prayer is that before leaving earth, every believer experiences 5 consecutive moments walking in the power of the Spirit. And once you do that, you'll want 7. then you'll want to walk 10 minutes. See? But it's tough, because it's by faith. And faith is the battle. But we're born into the family. Cannot be unborn out of the family. Many Christians today are all caught up into the family. And but yet are so quick to disown family members. This is what's a, oh, it's a family. Well, we're through with you, you bum. And all of these type of things. So quick to separate themselves, divorce themselves. Remember, how you treat others is your view of God. You gossip, this is what God would have me to do. You separate, this is what God would have me to do. This is my view of God. Don't talk to me about what happened on the cross. And don't talk to me about how they are members of my family in Christ. This is what God would have me to do. All these kind of things. You judge one another. This is what God would have you to do. So, we're born into the heavenly kingdom, and this is one of the strongest assurances of our eternal security. I am sure that dear old woman that gave birth to me, I'm sure, just looking back, there are many times she wanted to say, "He's not mine. He is not mine." But I was born there. She cannot deny that. And neither does God deny it. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 says, "For you all are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." His deity is humanity. And you cannot be unborn from this. Born into the family by faith. Not by sinlessness. Not by being moral, being good, going to church, praying, singing, giving, all these things. You know, that's not how you're born into the family, people. You're born into the family by faith. John chapter 1, verse 12. "But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." Again, it is not by something we do in our life. It is simply by faith in Jesus Christ. And once you're born into the family of God, you cannot be unborn. The doctrine of regeneration guarantees eternal security. Okay, second approach. Many Christians like to talk about the Bible. Oh, I believe the Bible. A few of them make an effort to study the Bible. And some even want to go to a church where it's taught verse by verse. Except on something like this. It's the language of the Bible, the Greek grammar. Well, I still think you can lose your salvation. I don't care if I am regenerated, born into the family of God, and boy, I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible. But don't get me hung up on the Greek grammar. What do I mean? Acts 16:31. Acts 16:31 says, "And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. You and your household shall be saved if they believe." What's the point? You shall be saved. Aorist active. Aorist tense. Point in time. You are saved. You are saved. Point in time of faith in Christ. You cannot undo it. It's not a present tense. Keep on. No, it's point in time, aorist tense. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God." You have been saved. You know what he uses this time? Perfect tense. Not aorist, perfect. And you know what the action of the perfect tense is? Happened here, continues forever. Happened here, results go on. Happened here, here's the result. Aorist tense, you're saved once and for all. Perfect tense, once you're saved, you're always saved. Once saved, always saved. If somebody doesn't like that, that's the perfect tense. You cannot lose your salvation, that's the aorist tense. Once saved, always saved, that's the perfect tense. You cannot lose it. There's no sin or sins that you can commit to undo what God has done. Point three. Third approach. Inheritance. This one breaks down in our modern society where we can change an inheritance even after the old boy's gone. Let's go to court and change it up. We don't like the way he did his will, and we're going to figure out how to change it to our liking, see? So we are losing things here, but inheritance in Christ cannot be changed or taken away. It's yours. It's your inheritance. It cannot be taken from you. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. People, you can't lose it. Once you believed in Jesus Christ, you became an heir of Christ. With Christ. It cannot be taken away. Verse 5. Reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation. Ready to be revealed in the last time. People, we have the inheritance in Christ. You cannot lose it. You may be like one of the Corinthian believers. You may be a scoundrel. You may want to bring your Apollo prostitution into the church, which he's going to talk about you. But you don't lose your salvation. You don't lose this inheritance. We want to live who we are in Christ. That's the whole Christian life. But boy, once you believe in Christ, you become heirs with Christ. Cannot lose it. There's no way we can lose the inheritance. It is freely, graciously given by God. It's the faithfulness of God. If you think you can lose your salvation, then it's the faithfulness of God you're challenging. The fourth approach. The fourth approach. We have eternal security in being a part of the body of Christ. Those people who believe you can lose your salvation, they've got this picture of Christ. Well, I don't want you, so cut off your hand. I mean, Christ wouldn't be there anymore. He would just keep chopping away. His hands, his elbows, his arms, his heels, his toes, fingers. But every time, don't do that. You're part of the body of Christ. Become part of the body of Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Let me read it for you. He who is also head of the body, the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might himself might come to have first place in everything. He's the head. We're the body. He's the head. We're the body. You stump your toe, hurt your heart, you don't say, well, I don't want you anymore. There are people who have gangrene, and it's just to save their life, they've got to maybe cut off part of their leg. I don't want you to do that. I want to die with both my boots on, as it were. I want to die with both of my feet. We don't want to. Christ isn't going to cut off part of his body, people. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21. 1 Corinthians 12, 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. People, you're part of the body of Christ. Now, you may be a pretty broken down and weak finger. We want to strengthen you in the Holy Spirit, in the Word of God. But not going to chop you off because of that. You have been made part of the body of Christ. You've become discouraged in life. The way things have been disappointing to you in life. But the truth of eternal security comes as a source of great comfort and encouragement to just return to walking by faith. Jesus Christ will never say to you, I don't need you anymore. You're too bad. Man will say that to you. People will say that to you. Churches may say that to you. Christ will never say that to you. He will never say, I don't need you anymore. Ever. You're in part of his body. I need you to walk the way I want you to walk. Walk in the Spirit. Grow in the Word. All these things. But he's never going to say, I don't need you. This is a source of great comfort, especially in sin, failures, hurts, and life. Have this comfort, this joy of eternal security. The fifth approach. Relationship. Relationship. And people, this may surprise you, I'm not talking about our relationship with God. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God's relationship with Jesus Christ. Because of God's relationship with Jesus Christ, you have eternal security. Not so much your relationship with God. That's not my point. God's relationship with Christ. If God took away your eternal security, he is saying to Christ, one of those I have given to you, I take back. I am no longer faithful to what you did on the cross. So it's God's faithfulness to Jesus Christ that's part of our relationship. John 17, verse 11, in the True Lord's Prayer, which we'll be studying on Wednesday night. I am no more in the world, yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to thee, to the Father, Holy Father, calls him Father, keep them in thy name, eternal security, the name which thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are. So have a relationship. The sixth approach, this came about as a result of our study in the 9:30 study on 1 Corinthians, sanctification. I don't know how I left it out. Sanctification. Once you're sanctified, you remain sanctified forever. Once you're sanctified, you remain sanctified forever. And I do know I'm running late on time, but I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 10 with me, please. Hebrews chapter 10. It's a Bible church. Let's at least look up a couple of these passages. Hebrews chapter 10. By this will we have been sanctified. By this will, that is the will of God, by the will of God, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Oh, excuse me. Well, y'all, my goodness. All right. Verse 10. I'm sorry. By this, by the will of God, we have been sanctified, have been. Past, remains forever, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once and for all, have been sanctified, set apart to God. Perfect tense. What happened in the past remains forever. And while you got your Bibles open, you combine verse 10 with verse 14, and you hold on to these two verses. Put them on your refrigerator door and your billfold in times of hurt and discouragement. Verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected, made perfect for all time those who are sanctified. In case closed. You cannot lose it. Look at verse 14. For by one offering, Jesus Christ, he has perfected, made perfect for all time those who are sanctified. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, you can read it sometime. You cannot lose your sanctification. All right, this brings us to Roman numeral 7, our last point. Yes? Yes. That's sanctified. I didn't deal with the word. Sanctified means to be set apart to God. That's what sanctification really means. Set apart to God, made holy. That's why we're called saints, because we're holy. And that's why it says in Matthew, be holy as I am holy. I dare any of you to try to be holy. I dare any of you try to be holy for 5 minutes. See? We're not going to be holy. How can I be holy? Only in Christ. Only in Christ. Peter, he says, be perfect as I am perfect. I can't be perfect. I can't be perfect. I tell my wife that every day. I can't be perfect. She doesn't seem to understand this. I cannot be perfect. I'm not perfect. In Christ, we're perfect. We're perfect in Him. All right, Roman numeral 7. Eternal security and your life here on earth. Your eternal security and your life here on earth. Point one, inner peace. Especially in difficult times. Times maybe when you've sinned, where it even bothers you. See, a lot of our sins don't bother us. We're used to getting angry. We're used to judging. We're used to maligning. We're used to running. We don't really get all worked up about them. But every now and then we all commit a sin that, boy, that bothers me. That bothers me. And you know what? I don't see how God could love me because of that sin. He loved me in all these other sins, but this one bothered me, so it must bother God really heavy. No, all sins bother Him, if you want to use that word. all sins. So, but when we sin, when we fail, have things that happen in your life, people, there's just an inner peace in knowing that you are secure in Christ. You have eternal security in death, in life, whatever happens in life. There's that peace. You can't lose it. I hope you understand eternal security and believe it. Point two. The comfort, the inner comfort of knowing that you will never leave, He will never leave you. No matter how you fail, no matter how things may be, He will never leave you. He will never cast you aside. Point three, the inner peace and the inner comfort of knowing that no one, not even you, can take you out of the hands of God. Not even you can do it. Point four, Romans 5, 1 through 3 that we're in the midst of studying, plus the inner peace of verse 2 of Romans 5, make it easier for you to exalt in times of tribulation. That's where we'll come back when we come back to Romans 5. Exalt in tribulation. How can you do that? Only if you understand eternal security. Let me read for you 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Timothy 1, 12. For this reason, I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that He is able to guard that which I have entrusted to Him until that day. No matter what I do, it's not about me, it's about Him, trusting Him. Point five, inner peace and joy, especially when you've sinned, when others forsake you, when others judge you, just knowing that He will never leave you, He will never forsake you. You're locked in. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Point 6. Such confidence, peace, comfort, encouragement in knowing that we are secure in God. Please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. A great chapter on the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, verse 38. Not verse 28, but Romans 8, 38. For I am convinced. Now, people, how are you convinced? You're convinced by studying the Scriptures and the power of the Holy Spirit and believing what the Scriptures say. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It goes back to that relationship. It's a relationship of the Father and the Son, people. That's where I'm banking it. Not so much my relationship of the Father and the Son. And I know I'm in the Son. So, this is what we have going on here. So, there's a great inner peace in eternal security, people, even in death. We're joining together now, this time with Rick and Terry and Thomas. Looked very close yesterday, the Lord may call him home, but I want to put it in perspective. From our standpoint, that's the worst thing that could have happened. The worst thing that could have happened if he had died on the table yesterday. No, that's the best thing. He had been home and face with the Lord. I know that's tough. I know that's tough. Especially now that we can relate to it in a personal way. But you see, a testing like this in life and death is to find out, does all you've been studying and saying you believed, when we're tested, do you really believe it? See, sufferings, testings of faith. Do I really believe what I've been saying I believe in good times? Do I believe it in difficult times, bad times? Do I really believe it? Or am I going to abandon it? So this is the security, eternal security, even death. Young 14-year-old. Hadn't even reached the prime yet. And if he was taken home, is God still faithful? Absolutely. God is still faithful. Our joy, our thanksgiving, is that he improved through the night and is improving now. But I want to put this in perspective of our study with something that affects every one of us right now personally with Thomas. Is that because of eternal security, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Point 7. When we sin, when we fail, and feel that we are no longer deserving of his love, deserving of our salvation, eternal security guarantees we still have it. Psalms 37:24 is beautiful here. Psalm 37:24, all sins, even horrible sins, he shall not be hurled headlong. Why? Because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. People, he holds our hand. And what's so beautiful is, even when I'm in sin, hurling down in sin, he's still got hold of my hand. Peter stopped walking by faith on that water. He started looking at the world, looking at the, oh, I shouldn't be doing this. I'm going to drown, all of these things. And what did the Lord do? Reached down and grabbed him by his hand, pulled him back up. It doesn't matter, people, to him. See, we look and see sin. God and Christ look and see sanctified, holy in me. That's what they see. We see sin. They see that we're our position in Christ. John 3:16, John 3:18, John 5:24. All are beautiful passages in this regard. Point 8. Knowing eternal security and believing eternal security makes it easier to just trust him. Makes it easier to just trust him in time of life and death. So pattern after Abraham. Abraham did not weaken in his faith. What did it talk about? He was able, it's more easy for him to trust him now. More easy to trust. And then you go to the crescendo. Offer your son as a sacrifice. Your only son, who's the one I promised you, offer him a sacrifice. It was easier for him to say, okay, I trust you. I've seen you here. I've seen you ever since you called me. And I trust you. Eternal security makes it easier for us to trust him. Romans 4:21, and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And finally, point 9. Even though you have failed, God nor Jesus Christ cast you aside. You are still in their hands. And he still has a plan for you. His plan for you is still operative. 1 Corinthians 12:21 and other passages we've looked at, he will not say he does not need you anymore. He will never say that to you. Friends and relatives may. Church may. But Jesus Christ and God will never say, I don't need you anymore. He may say, because you're so out of my plan here, I need you home. I'm going to call you home. But that's his love and grace. He doesn't throw us aside. He just calls you home. Isn't that beautiful? I'm so bad that instead of casting me down, he calls me home. This is what kind of God we have, people. This is what kind of Savior we have. So it may be people that, not understanding these things, but people, you and I have to understand eternal security, understand where we are with God, understand that our being accepted to God has nothing to do with our life. It has to do with our position in Christ. That's who he sees. He sees you're in Christ. That's what he sees. We see a sinner. We see how horrible you are. We see how you failed, how you cheated, how you lied, how you did all these things. God says, I see someone sanctified in my son. That's eternal security. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we consider it a great privilege to address you as Father. Abraham, Moses, David, Jeremiah, Samson, none of these addressed you as Father. Daniel, we get to address you as Father. Father, we thank you for this book. We thank you for giving us this place to meet and study it verse by verse, grasp it, where it becomes a reality in our soul and then momentum in our life, security in our life, a joy and a peace that we can now live for you. We don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear loss. Therefore, we have the freedom just to love and to live. Father, I pray you take the things we've seen here this morning, have them become a reality in our soul, and then in our lives, in our relationship with our husband and wife, relationship with family, friends, and church. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen.